What LTCM actually did was complicated, but the core idea was deceptively simple. They looked for pairs of securities that should, in theory, trade at similar prices but temporarily diverged. Then they would buy the cheap one and sell the expensive one, waiting for the prices to converge. For example, they might notice that a 29-year U.S. Treasury bond was trading slightly cheaper than a 30-year bond, even though the two were nearly identical in risk and return. LTCM would buy the 29-year bond and short sell the 30-year bond. When the price is corrected, and according to their models, they always would, LTCM would pocket the difference. The profits on any single trade were tiny, fractions of a percent. So LTCM used leverage, massive leverage. At its peak, the fund had equity of about $5 billion, but controlled positions worth more than $125 billion. That's a leverage ratio of 25 to 1. And because many of their derivative positions didn't show up on traditional balance sheets, the true notional exposure was over $1 trillion. The partners believed this was safe because their positions were hedged. They weren't making one-way bets. They were holding offsetting positions. So in theory, losses on one side would be balanced by gains on the other. But there was a hidden assumption in every model that markets would behave rationally, that liquidity would always be available, that in a crisis, investors would follow the math. In the summer of 1997, the Asian financial crisis erupted. Currencies collapsed across Thailand, South Korea, and Indonesia. Global investors began fleeing risk. Bond spreads widened. LTCM's models predicted these dislocations were temporary. The firm doubled down. In October 1997, the U.S. stock market crashed on what became known as Mini Crash Monday. LTCM weathered it. In fact, the chaos created more arbitrage opportunities. The fund ended 1997 up 17%, not as spectacular as prior years, but still strong. By early 1998, LTCM's capital had grown so large that the partners made an unusual decision. They returned $2.7 billion to outside investors, shrinking the fund back to about $4.6 billion. The stated reason was that there weren't enough good trades to deploy all that capital efficiently. But there was another reason. With less outside capital, the partners' ownership stake increased. They now controlled more than 50% of the fund. If returns remained strong, they'd keep more of the profits. Then, in August 1998, Russia defaulted on its debt. Russia's economy had been teetering for months, but few believed the government would actually refuse to pay its ruble-denominated bonds. It did. On August 17th, Russia announced a debt moratorium and devalued the ruble. The global reaction was immediate and catastrophic. Investors around the world panicked. Money fled emerging markets and poured into the safest assets available, U.S. Treasury bonds. The flight to quality was so extreme that it broke the relationships LTCM's models relied on. Chapter: The Death.